Everybody?
Hi.
I'm stand up here again in front of you, if you don't mind. Now, would you do me a favor and bring that verse back up from the scripture? Thanks. I've become a big fan of taking one verse of the Bible and being satisfied with that for a sermon. I think that at least God has been telling me that it's important for us to look at one verse and to really consider the words of it, because we oftentimes read over it so fast in Scripture that we lose meaning. So I hope that this, and I also like the fact that we have it up in front of us as well as looking in your Bible, because I think that these words are much more important than what I have to say to you today. Anything that I say is hopefully going to also be from God, otherwise it would be useless for me to be here. But I believe that there's great worth in reading the Bible during the service so that you can have God speak to you that way too. Would you pray with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that You have given us Your Word and that You speak to us. You speak to each one of us at the age that we are at, and You care deeply about us. You want to be a part of our lives, and more than that, You want to give us life, eternal life. May we come closer to understanding, Lord, what You want us to hear today. May the words that I speak, Lord, be pleasing in Your sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like to draw your attention to the person who asked the question that I asked in the sermon title today. Actually, the way that she put it was a little bit old-fashioned. She said, "What think ye of Christ? What think ye of Christ?" And she is, actually the person she is, Dorothy Sayers. I don't know if you ran across her name before, but I'd like to talk to you a little bit about who Dorothy is. Anybody like mystery stories? Detective stories? Seems like a lot of people like them, because there's a lot of different shows on television talking about mysteries. There's the good old days, right? I don't know how many people used to watch Murder, She Wrote, but that was a great show. Now it's CSI, House, what else?
Bones.
Yeah, and it's gotten a lot more graphic. You know, they're more into like showing you the inside of an artery and stuff like that. Whereas in the days of Dorothy Sayers, they left a lot more up to the person's imagination, and they used words to describe the things that she wanted them to find out. But let me give you a little bit of background on Dorothy Sayers. She was a very important person in history, but she was also a very important person to the church. She grew up in England. She was English. She loved England. But she was the kind of person who loved her country and helped her country by telling them what they needed to do better. She was not a quiet person. She was a woman, and being a woman at the time, especially at the time that she lived, meant that your opinion was not as important as a man. But she had a major voice, and she's a very important person for us to know. Sadly, in the church, there are too few men that get involved in the work of the church. And there are many, many women indeed involved in the work in this church, and we're grateful for that. And we are grateful for what they have to say. But this is a little bit of what Dorothy had to say at a time in England where people were not going to church. Okay? This was in the early 1900s. It was the First World War, the Second World War, she lived through those two times. And there was a lot going on that she commented on, okay? But anyway, she was a mystery writer, and she became famous for that reason, but she had other things to say, just to give you an idea. Churches were empty because preachers insist on too much doctrine. That's what she said she heard. People were saying, churches are empty because preachers insist too much on doctrine. They call it dull dogma. Away with the tedious complexities of dogma, let us have the simple spirit of worship. Just worship, no matter what. And what her response was. Neglect of dogma makes for dullness. Neglect of dogma is what makes for dullness. The Christian faith is the most exciting drama that ever staggered the imagination of man. And the dogma is the drama. And this is found in the creeds of the church. You know what a creed is? You guys are probably not that familiar with it. Perhaps if you had Uncle Jonathan for a Sunday school class, he may have introduced you to that. He's also spoken about the Apostles' Creed. You may have heard of that. But the closest thing that I can think of that you may have association with that is down in the Princeton Church, in the Korean church. I was there one time, and at the end of the time that you met, there was a number of verses that everybody recited together. Remember that? Don't you do that? Do you do that every time? Not every time. Okay, well, on that night, there were a list of different verses that everybody read together, and it was really like a creed. It was what they believed, what we believe as Christians. And we were reading these Bible verses as a confirmation, really, and a proclamation, just like Uncle Jonathan was saying today, saying out loud what it is that we believe in. Okay? I'll go on a little bit. This is what she had to say. She was very, very straightforward. The brutal fact is that in this so-called Christian country, not one person in 100 has the faintest notion what the church teaches about God, or man, or society, or the person of Jesus Christ. And this is what she had to say. Let us, in heaven's name, drag out the divine drama from under the dreadful accumulation of slipshod thinking and trashy sentiment heaped upon it, and set it on an open stage to startle the world into some sort of vigorous reaction. She was a prophet. She was saying that Jesus Christ is coming again, and none of us are ready. And so you better wake up. You better wake up, because there's a slow train coming. And he's going to come, most definitely. And we're not ready. And none of us even have the faintest notion of what the church teaches. They talk bad about the creeds and say it's boring. But if you were to ask the average Englishman at that time, they wouldn't have been able to tell you what the creed was. So they were reacting to something based on what they had heard about the church, but they didn't really read it. And you know what? Sounds a whole lot like the United States right now. People complain, they don't go to church, they put down the church, they put down things in the church, but if you were to ask somebody, what is it that you believe in, they wouldn't be able to tell you. And I believe that God is trying to talk to us today through people like Dorothy Sayers, and that's why she's so important. She stood up at a time and showed concern in a way that was a little bit hard to take. She really shook up the church, and she shook up the leaders in the church and told them, you better get your act together and start to relate to the people in this country, because they're falling away from God. And it wasn't the people that stayed out of the church that she was angry with. She was angry with the people who led the church. And she said, you better wake up, because you're out of touch. People are not coming to church. And they want something else, and you better wake up. Yeah. And so what she did is she had as a solution to that, not only to tell the church to get on the ball and wake up and start to teach the doctrine in a way that people can understand it and to do this kind of thing, but she went ahead and she wrote a series of plays that were based on Jesus Christ's life. And it's called The Man Born to be King. And so this whole book here is filled with plays that she devised as a reaction to the apathy and the disinterest in her country as to who Jesus Christ was, and to help them to find life itself and the meaning of life, because she loved England so much. And she wrote these plays. And these plays were broadcast. They didn't have television at that time, so they broadcast them over the radio. And they read them so the people all throughout the entire country could hear this. And I read somewhere that not only did they become familiar with, or re-familiarize themselves with the story of Jesus, but many people heard about Jesus for the first time because of her efforts to write these plays down in a format that people can understand. And what she did was that she didn't change the story so that it was taking place in England at that time, but what she did was she took the language of the day that people, the average people or the poor people, would speak in, and she changed the language of the Bible so that people no longer heard the Bible in a flashy, kind of a flowery way that was fancy and really understandable. It was understandable for them because they heard themselves in the people of the day of Christ. And that's exactly what she believes, that we should be teaching Jesus not as some special person who's holier than thou, but a person who was brutalized, spit in the face of, broken bones, everything about him. The same Jesus who went around and told the Pharisees and the people of his day that they better change because there's a slow train coming and Jesus Christ is going to come and judge the world and he is going to have his day and they better wake up. And that's what people respond to, because when they hear that, then they hear a person who is real. And if you talk about the Christian movement in our world today, people are doing the same thing that they were doing then in England. They're looking for a faith that they can respond to because they relate to it. They don't want to hear that everything is fine and everything is good and God loves you and all these different things, although that is important. What they want to know is God real? And is his creation real because of him? Is his salvation real because of him? How can I relate to this person? And she was convinced that we need to hear about the Jesus that was in the Bible. She didn't change the Bible, but she changed the wording so that people could relate to it better. Let me give you an example. Okay. I won't read much, but I'll give you a little example. This is the beginning of a scene on the road to Calvary. The background noise of people passing. Benji, Sam, come on, there's some chap who's going to be crucified. Oh, yeah, coming up this way. Yep, I got some rotten eggs to chuck at him. So do you see how Jesus is being portrayed and that the people are being portrayed at that time? Let me read you a little bit more. Who is going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days? Looks as though the temple didn't see you out. Come to that, why don't you destroy the cross? Split the wood, melt the iron. That's nothing to a fellow who can overthrow the temple. Go to it, miracle man. Show us your power, Jesus of Nazareth. So when we look at these verses, this verse of today, the same question is going to be asked of us. What does Jesus mean to you? That's the question. Is he somebody who you heard is in a church in the Bible, people wrote about him, there's a cross hanging in churches because he died on one? Or are you hearing yourself in the voices of those people that were doing that on that day? I can hear my voice in that if I were there. So what she was trying to say to us is very, very important. We're supposed to see ourselves in the faces of those people that lived in the time of Jesus and crucified him. Because in fact, that is what we believe. It was not somebody else who killed Jesus. It was me and it was you. And if we come to the point where we can understand that, then we start to understand the Bible. And when we open up our Bibles, and if you go to your Sunday school classes, and you go to church, and you go to wherever it is that you're going, and you start to read about these things in a way so that you understand that you have to make this person real to today so that people can understand him and make it known to these people that without him there is no life, then you will begin to understand what Jesus and the things that he talked about are all about. And so we have a very important message from Dorothy Sayers for us today. We need to wake up. In the United States, we need to wake up and understand that our country is not bigger than Jesus Christ. Okay? We need to understand that without Jesus Christ, we would not be alive today. And without Jesus Christ, there is no hope for anyone for tomorrow. And so we need to ask ourselves this question: what does Jesus Christ mean to me? And our church needs to be very, very careful to understand this too. And we need to understand ourselves as being important to Jesus Christ for telling people this message. But we do not shy away from it. We do not make him out to be something that he is not, unreal, far away. He came to earth for that reason. And that was the purpose behind his Father giving him to us and sending him here. It's the same reason that God came down in the Sunday school lessons where we're learning about Moses and appeared this voice in a burning bush. He came down to us. Why? Because he wants us to know him. Because he wants us to know life. Because he wants us to live. And I think that we in our church have to wake up. We cannot come to this church and feel that we're just going through the motions and this is our religion. We need to be waking up. We need to stop thinking about things that are taking us away from spreading the gospel, and we need to emphasize our church in this way. And if he is not real to you in the way that we were just reading about, that he was spit upon and crucified for us, and he rose again to give us life, then it's time for you to start thinking about what that means and to ask yourself this question. Who is Jesus Christ? Is he a storybook fairy tale character? Is he someone that we just believe in because man needs religion? That's some of the things that you're going to hear today. Man created God because he needs to believe in something. So just believe in him. But it doesn't matter if you believe in him or anyone else, any other God. They're all the same. We invented them because man needs a God to believe in. I challenge you today to read your Bibles with that in mind. To read about Jesus Christ and ask yourself the question, who is he to me? And you will find, I believe, if you are following the thought that Dorothy Sayers had, then you are going to agree that he is real. And it was the most dramatic, interesting, humbling, and offensive life that ever walked the face of the earth. He told people like it was. He openly told them the way things were, and he gave them hope and told them, if you believe in me, you will have eternal life. But if you don't believe in me, you are going to die. Now what, in the words of Dorothy Sayers, what could be more interesting to that than that? She said, if that's boring, I'd like to hear what your vision of interesting is. So here was a woman who was gifted and saw herself as a mystery writer because she wanted to encourage her people and entertain the people of England during a very difficult time. But she took her faith in Jesus Christ and she put it to use in a way that was spreading the gospel and reached people in ways that only her creativity could reach them at that time, and God used it. How is God going to use you?